You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. We've got plenty to look forward to this week. We've got the Czech Masters in the European Tour, and we've also got the Northern Trust on the PGA Tour. My name is Mark Walton, filling in as presenter this week, joined in the studio by a Golf Podcast regular, of course, in the shape of Mr. Dave Tindall. How are you, Dave?
I'm very good, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yes, very well indeed, thank you. Not too bad, as I tend to say more often than not on this podcast.
One day I'll be good, actually,
yeah.
Good.
Actually, yeah, one day I'll be ecstatic, yes. Or something. You never know. We live in hope. Just a little bit of a glance back to last week before we get stuck into this week, Dave. In the Wyndham, we saw Brant Snedeker make all, if you like to use a racing phrase. Good performance from him, and he looked good as well last week.
Yeah, pillar to post. Obviously, starting with that 59 in round one kind of sets you up, and not that he sort of cruised for the next two rounds, but he sort of, you know, he didn't go mad. He just sort of held his position. And then on the last day, he actually had a bit of a challenge from CT Pan from Taiwan. And I actually put a CT Pan on in-play radio at 10-1 at the start of Sunday. I mean,
good man.
Mark Wilson was such, both had backed him, cheering him on, and then got level and then drove out of bounds at the last.
Close, but no cigar.
Yes, so that sort of handed it to Snedeker, who we kind of thought would probably always win, but it was quite fun to be on the one that came out of the pack.
Yeah.
But Snedeker, yeah, got it done by three in the end. Pan double bogey. Snedeker finished with a birdie. And he'd been, if you listen to his press conferences, he'd been sort of saying, I'm close and all this sort of business. And, you know, I'm putting the work in. I'm not quite getting the results. It's going to happen. And then it did. And on a course where he'd won before. So kind of felt like I'd missed him a little bit because he was around that 25-1 price.
Yeah. He's a nice price as well for this week's event. We'll move on to that a little closer. He takes part in the Northern Trust this week. But I just want to have a quick look at the European stuff as well, because significant events there in the shape of Paul Waring winning the Nordea Masters. It's his maiden European Tour success after many, many goes.
Yes, a nice round 200.
Yes. Somebody, is that what it was, 200?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. 200. I don't know whether somebody told him, come on, mate, it's 200 now, you need to win one of these.
Well, you know what they say, 200th time looking, that famous phrase.
A classic, yeah. So, yeah, he did well in the end, went to a playoff, and again, it was a case of an opponent blinking first. This time, Thomas Aiken drove into water at the last, so I'm sure Paul Waring was thinking, yes, all that waiting, and then my rival drives into the water. Thank you.
Yes. Significant for Thorbjørn Olesen as well, because his performance there in the Nordea Masters put him into an automatic qualification spot for the Ryder Cup, which is obviously going to be a talking point for the next few weeks, because we're only a few weeks away from deciding the Ryder Cup teams.
Yeah, I think obviously Thorbjørn Olesen is Danish and Thomas Bjørn, the Ryder Cup skipper, is Danish.
Oh, so, I see what you're saying.
So it's not just that. He's been in great form for a while, but I think Bjorn will be glad not to have to use a wild card pick on him, because, you know, there's others that aren't in there yet. So he'll be glad to see Olesen qualify automatically if he holds his position. So that's great news for Europe, because what you want is you want informed players playing in that event. And Olesen's, all his big forms come since kind of May, June, you know, through the summer. So that really is good to have him on the team. Because there's quite a few who've not made it. Sergio, Henrik Stenson, they're all going to need a pick. And obviously he's only got four. So it's going to be a bit of a fight for those last places. And that kind of bleeds us on, doesn't it, to the Czech Masters.
It does. It leads us nicely onto the real Czech Masters, the D&D real Czech Masters, not the fake one, where Thomas Peters heads the market at 6-1. Eddie Pepperell is 16-1. Danny Willett, 20s. Matt Wallace, 20s as well. Dean Burmester is 22-1 with Lee Westwood at 25s. Lucas Herbert, 25-1 as well. Sjoren Kjeldsen is 25-1, and it's 33-1 or bigger prices for the remainder. And we'll start with a little bit of a chat about the competition as a whole, because it's quite a new one, isn't it, the Czech Masters?
Yeah, this is its fifth year at Albatross Golf Resort in Prague. And the front end of the betting, it's all kind of guys who are pushing for Ryder Cup selection or to get a pick. You've got 6-1 Thomas Peters, clear favourite. 16-1 Eddie Pepperell, he's on the fringes of getting a place after a big summer. 20-1 Matt Wallace, two-time winner this year. He's got, you know, he's got a chance of getting in there. Wallace, Peters is 20th in the standings. Wallace 15th and Pepperell 10th are there. You know, if they do something big this week, Thomas Bjorn's got to sit up and go, I know, you know, that they would be rookies, and I know there's all these guys who've done good things in the past, but if you've got a guy winning a couple of weeks before it starts,
yeah,
or what, we're a month away, that's got to count, you know, kudos, hasn't it, for them?
It's the old debate, isn't it, whether you go with proven form of past, of the past, if you like, or the up-and-coming talent, as yeah, well as with respect to some of those.
I think with the Americans always used to just go on names, and yeah, I think down in recent years they've had more of a look at, well, who's actually playing well now, because we can't, you know, pick someone who was great in March or something. So
yeah,
so I think the door is still open for some of these guys, which has got to give them extra incentive. And the good thing as well, they're all playing well, so yeah, they've got a chance.
And Thomas Peters at the top of the market, he'll probably be looking at this as a big chance for him, because he's got a great record in the competition. He won it in 2015, finished runner-up in 2016. He seems to like it there.
Yeah, and he's come right back into form, Thomas Peters. It's as if, you know, he knows that the Ryder Cup's coming up. And he was a top scorer in the last Ryder Cup, even though he was playing on a side that got hammered. But last three starts, 6th in the Scottish Open, 28th at Carnoustie in the Open, 6th in the PGA Championship. Big, big performances. So, you know, he's playing well enough to get another win here. And you know, you don't like sort of backing 6-1 people in golf. But if somebody really wanted to, I couldn't say no, really, for him this week, because I think he'll be bang there.
Yeah, 5th of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. It's almost like an each-way bet to nothing, I suppose, yeah, with him. But it is 16-1 bar him. So there mm-hmm. must be some value in there elsewhere as well.
Yeah, I mean, 16-1, Eddie Pepperell, I've just mentioned, Ryder Cup hopeful, played really well in the Scottish and almost a British Open. That would offend lots of people. I don't get that bothered, actually, when people say British Open.
Yeah.
Because if you say the Open to an American, they might think it's their Open. If you say British Open, it's all, you know exactly what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
You might go, oh, it's not called that, but you know what I'm referring to.
Yeah.
Language is about understanding, Mark.
It is.
People get too precious. Anyway, I'll probably get some complaints about that now. But anyway, how did I get onto that?
You accidentally said British Open.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was, well, contrasting it to the Scottish Open.
Yeah.
And it sounded clumsy to say Scottish Open and Open.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. But anyway, the point is, Eddie Pepperell has played well in both. And he's also got some really cracking course form here, a pair of fifths. So there's no reason why he can't shine as well. And I think 6-1 kind of is an each way bet to nothing, but it could go wrong, where 16s is more of a genuine each way price, isn't it? So I might just have a half a point each way. It's not an event that's really caught my eye in terms of the prices, to be honest, but I think Eddie Pepperell is playing that well. I think 16-1 is doable. So okay, we'll have half a point each way at 16s on him.
Okay. There's some big names in the lineup as well. You know, you've got Andrew Johnson in there, you've got Lee Westwood in there, Danny Willett in there as well, of course. You know, big names of the past. We're going to see anything from any of them this week, because they've had barren spells a little bit.
Yeah, Danny Willett has been in shocking form for a long while, but he started to come back in the last few months and he's had some good results, but we're still kind of guessing a little bit. Westwood pulled out of the PGA with an injury, which I haven't been able to find out what it was.
Right.
So that's a slight kind of question mark. Andrew Johnson Beef, he'd been out since the French Open at the start of July, but he came back with a tied 10th in Sweden last week. So he's certainly one to look at 33s on a
yeah,
course that should suit his you know, strong tee to green game.
Okay, easy for you to say. 33-1 for Beef if you want to have a bit of that. Eddie Pepperell, half a point each way, though, the selection for Mr. Tindall sat opposite me. And we'll move on to the Northern Trust next, which is headed by Dustin Johnson at the top of the market at 8-1. It's then 10-1 for Jason Day. Brooks Koepka is 12-1. It's 12 for Justin Thomas as well. 14's Tiger Woods. Justin Rose is 16-1. 18's for John Rahm. Francesco Molinari is 20-1 with Jordan Spieth. Tommy Fleetwood is 25-1, and 33s or bigger prices for the remainder. Tell us about the Richwood Country Club to start with, and What do you need there as a player?
Yeah, it's in New Jersey, so they tend to move this tournament around a little bit. This Ridgewood has been used 2008, 2010, 2014. It's kind of a classic old school course, tree-lined. You know, it was designed by one of the sort of design legends Tillinghast, who has done other courses in the region like Baltusrol, which has been used in majors. And yeah, I think certain players really love this style of golf because it's not just bombs away like some courses we've seen. So it is a bit of a classic, and I think it's quite kind of fair on all types of play. You're not at a disadvantage if you're a short hitter. I think it appeals to all if you like that kind of golf.
Okay. Let's talk about the players then now. Dustin Johnson at the top of the market, 8-1. He seems to be back in form. He likes it here as well. He won it last year. He also won it back in 2011 when shooting 19 under par as well, which is...
Although both of those were on different courses.
Yeah.
They were in this event, but on different courses. Yeah. So we're not entirely sure if this is his bag, but
okay.
Most courses are his bag, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Glen Oaks last year, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And Plainfield Country Club back in 2011. Apparently.
Just pluck that out of the air.
Yes, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So he's 8-1. Do you take him on then this week?
Well, it's a tricky one. I think there's a danger you might look at him in the majors and think, oh, he's not quite. But I think the majors have become a bit of a kind of mental problem for him a little bit. I mean, he did win one, so he sort of got the monkey off his back. But you'd expected him to have won two or three by now, and he doesn't quite seem to get it right. Whereas Brooks Koepka absolutely gets it right. I think DJ's better backed in maybe non-majors, where that's when he looks like a true world number one.
Yeah.
Where in the majors, you kind of, I don't know, he's, I wouldn't say overthinking because I don't think he thinks about anything, but he doesn't seem to get it right. So, yeah, you could certainly back him here, but he's not for me this week.
Okay. Once again, the players terms are first five this time, in fact. Fifth of the odds. Oh, no, first six. I read it wrong. I was going to say, I was surprised.
Getting better as you speak.
Yeah, it's just got up to first six. fifth of the odds. Keep talking, I'll go up to first seven. No, you won't. Yeah, first six home, a fifth of the odds, the players' term. So, again, we've got some double-figure prices for the rest of them, or bigger, of course. Who else has caught your eye here?
Well, the one I like is Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
Because I guess if you sort of look in, week out, or maybe if you only look at the majors, you're normally thinking he's about 12s, 14s, if that. But there he is at 20s, so that's kind of... bit of an alert to me that why is he 20s? Well, I guess he's 20s because he hasn't won this year, which is very surprising for someone of his talent, won three majors, and hasn't won since he won the Open at Birkdale last year. But if you look at his form of late, it's like he's due one soon, so I think this is a really great chance for him. I mean, he hasn't won, but he was the 54-hole leader at the Open.
Yeah.
British Open Championship, whatever.
You need to leave that.
Yeah, I think someone must have pulled me up on it and I've got a bit of a hump about it.
Yeah.
So he was ninth there at Carnoustie, 12th in the PGA. And if you sort of look beneath the actual finishing positions, break it down by numbers, at the PGA he was second for strokes gained putting, which used to be his massive strength, really. But he's gone absolutely off the charts with his putting at in a bad way over the last sort of year, and you can't believe how far down he is in the putting stats. But he was second for strokes gained putting that week, and he actually said himself, that's the best I've putted in 2 years. So you kind of put that together, and then you look at his scrambling, which is an important factor here. He just seems to be coming into form at the right time, while his price is still sort of has gone the other way a bit. So I think it's kind of like a perfect storm, really, to back him this week.
Yep.
He did play it in 2014. I mean, 22nd was okay, but he wasn't in great form at the time. He's actually in much better form now. So I think there's no reason why Spieth shouldn't really take to this course. He says he really likes it. He did close with a 67 back then, his best round of the week. So I think he walked off that course that year thinking it's probably somewhere where I'll be happy for it to come back here. And yeah, for me, it's definitely... If he was 12s or something, what have we got Jason Day at? 10s.
Yeah,
I mean, that's sillily short. You can't have Spieth twice the price of Day. That's just wrong. That, you know, two very similar golfers, and you know, Spieth, you could say, he's won three majors today. He's won, so
yeah,
it's definitely a prize play. That 20-1 Jordan Spieth, just as he's coming back into form, I think this is the time to catch him.
And I think with Jordan Spieth, we've seen him go on a charge, haven't we, on a number of occasions this year. He can't quite put it together for the 4 days,
yes,
but one of those days he's brilliant. He can just put it together for the whole week this time,
that's right. And you know it's going to happen, yeah. He's too good for it not to happen sooner, so I think this is a good time to catch him. Yeah,
let's just go into a little bit more detail about your thoughts on Jason Day there, because you think he's too short at 10-1. He's got a good record in this tournament. He won it in 2015 when it was at Plainfield, on this course, if you like, the Ridgewood. He finished runner-up or tied runner-up in 2014 as well. In terms of aggregate score in the tournament as well, he's right up there. So he seems to like this particular event.
I mean, he's got a fifth as well when it was held there in 2010. If you look at his performances in New Jersey as well, he's got a second, the first, and a second, the last three starts there.
Yeah.
So he's got a massive chance. I'll say that. It's just we have ducked him in the market this week, and maybe rightly so. Just for me, his last four events, he's looked brilliant at times, tee to green, but the bare results are 19th, 10th, 17th, 12th, which is sort of good, but not stunning, I don't think. So I can see why he's going to be very popular this week. We have ducked him, and for me, not at 10s.
Okay. Any others you want to mention? I suppose we should give Tiger Woods a quick mention, given that he's now talk of the town again. But can he win another major, by the way? That's just a different question altogether compared to this. But he seems to be finding his sparkling form again.
Yeah, after the Open, I thought, well, maybe he can only win one on a certain sort of track, and that track being somewhere like Carnoustie, where it's a bit shorter.
Mm.
But then he goes to Bellerive and plays out of his skin there. So, yeah, he can win another major, I think. I mean, it's amazing, really, that how well he's played in the last couple.
Yeah.
I think he just probably needs to win an event, a normal event first, and then as a stepping stone. But it's like time was, you know, was frozen, and you're back to sort of seeing him 10 years ago. Brilliant.
Yeah. I think once he does get over the line again now and actually gets a victory as well, the other players need to start being worried again.
That's the thing. At the moment, they've not got that same intimidation. They're still thinking, well, you know, all his best work was done ages ago. Once he starts winning, it will be, oh, here we go, Tiger again. But there's no reason why he shouldn't win another massive tournament.
Yeah,
I don't know about this week. I mean, this course should be decent for him, to be honest. He was 12th there on his one go in 2010, opened with a 65. So there's no reason why he shouldn't. I just got a feeling he might be saving something up his sleeve for the last one, the Tour Championship at Eastlake. That's like the leg four of the playoffs. That's my feeling.
Yeah. By the way, this is the one of the playoffs. There's four of them that are part of the playoff for the FedEx Cup, of course, and it's the one the top 125 players in FedEx points that take part, and that means we've got a stellar field. The lineup this week is brilliant, isn't it? It's worthy of a major.
Yeah, it's all a sort of, well, I suppose the only one missing is Rory, because he's...
Yeah.
The slight problem with it is it's already a busy time of the year, and then you get three of these in a row, then they have a week off, then the Tour Championship. So we've seen down the years some of the very elite players thinking, I'll have a week off.
Yeah.
Because I'm already...
Can afford to do so.
Yeah, I'm already going to be in the top 70 who play the next one. So it's a slight calculated gamble, but I think McIlroy sees it. He's got a better chance coming in a little bit fresh for the last three.
Any other players you want to quickly mention here? Or any
I'm going to put up another one, Mark, at 66-1. Hopefully still that. Xander Schauffele. Or Schauffele.
Yeah, he's still 66.
Yeah, he's a sort of strange player. Week in, week out, he's not particularly on the leaderboard. Well, he's not. But put him in a big event and he absolutely comes alive. He's kind of like a sort of mini Brooks Koepka in that he plays his best stuff in the biggies. I mean, last two US Opens, he's got a fifth and a sixth. This summer, we obviously saw him in the Open Championship, finish runner-up.
Yeah.
Fantastic performance. He was also runner-up at the Players' Championship, which obviously people know as the fifth major. So
the unofficial.
So all these big results come in big events. So I don't know quite why he's not shorter. I think I don't know. It's almost like he's...
It's a hard one to price up, I suppose, isn't it? Because if you price him up on his big events, then he'd be shorter. But you know he doesn't always put that in week in, week out. So
I don't know whether he's... I don't know. I just can't work out why... Because he's a young American. So if he was kind of like a sort of 32-year-old South Korean, sometimes they're kind of not quite recognised as much in the betting, then... But what's he got to do? I mean, he's sort of showing his hand what he can do. So I'm surprised it, you know, he's still allowed to go off at these sort of prices, because this is the type of, you know, gathering he loves when the kind of the elite gather. This is the time to catch him. So since that runner-up at Carnoustie, played all four rounds of the Bridgestone. Well, there was no cut, so he had to, but he lost interest. But 35th. In the PGA Championship, two middle rounds of 67, so he's clearly still playing some good golf. He's again, you look at his strokes gain numbers, excellent. So just 66, if you always back him in a big event at those sort of prices, you're winning for me.
Yeah, okay, good stuff. Let's have a quick summary then before you go. Your staking plan and your selections for this week then, Dave?
Yes, I'm not as confident on the real Czech Masters. Half a point each way on Eddie Pepperell at 16s for that one. But main bets are going to come in the Northern Trust. So I'm going to go a point and a half each way on Jordan Spieth at 20s. I'm going to go a point each way on Xander Schauffele at 66s.
Top stuff. Thank you very much, Dave. Good luck and enjoy it this week.
Yeah, cheers, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.